You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus and BearsWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. We're bringing you a Bears training camp update today from someone who was down on the ground in Bourbonnais getting some live action in. We'll be joined by my good friend Jonathan Wood, who was at Chicago Bears training camp on Saturday. He'll provide his observations on both sides of the ball, and we'll touch on some of the, you know, big ticket Chicago Bears topics and wrap up with a little bit of a look ahead to the regular season. I personally haven't had a chance to make it out to Bears training camp just yet. Gonna try and get down there at some point here still, but just been real busy on my own end. But that's why I wanted to go out and get somebody who has been there. And Jonathan only made it down for the one day. And so, you know, he's always quick to kind of asterisk his observations by saying it's just one observation and one practice and, you know, one set of eyes. You can't see everything and you don't see every single player on every single play. But I value his opinion quite a bit. You know, I didn't want to just go out and get some average Joe Bears fan who's going to come on here and rave about the team and just be a homer and, you know, everybody looked great and all this stuff. Jonathan is a respected Bears analyst and opinionist and, you know, a guy I've known for a long time on Twitter and in sort of the Bears blogosphere. And we've worked together in the past. And so I thought, you know, after he was at training camp this weekend, we should bring him on and pick his brain a little bit to get that firsthand knowledge from Bears training camp. Joining us now on the Locked On Bears podcast is Jonathan Wood. He writes over at Da Bears blog, and of course, he was at Chicago Bears training camp on Saturday, so we had to bring him on to get his analysis from the field, from on location in Bourbonnais. You can follow him on Twitter at Jonathan_Wood1. John, I know this was your first trip to Chicago Bears training camp. How was it? Was it everything you expected, or what was different?
Yeah, it was definitely everything I expected. It was a lot of fun. Just get out there and watch some actual football or something close to it. It's been too long, so it was good to dust off the cobwebs a little bit.
Well, I know you and I go way back to our early blogging days, and I respect your football opinion and your judgment when it comes to observing Bears practice. So really looking forward to hearing a lot of what you had to say. And I know you wrote up a lot of your observations over at Da Bears blog, and I was glancing through those. And I'd like to start with Mitchell Trubisky, kind of where everything has been focused this offseason and at training camp. And the talk has always been, you know, through these first week of practices, the interceptions and some of the mistakes he's made. Do you get the impression that it's, you know, it's something that's improving? And is this the kind of thing that, you know, he's trying to stretch himself a little bit and try more difficult things? Or is he making mistakes that he necessarily shouldn't be making?
Well, in terms of the interceptions, I can't speak to the other practices because today was the only one I've been at. But today he threw three or four of them, and I think they were all kind of like 50-50 balls where he just kind of trusted his guy to go win the ball and the defender made a better play and came up with it. So it wasn't necessarily a bad play so much. Like, it wasn't like he just totally airmailed it or anything. Just the defense was a little bit better.
Well, and you mentioned that he looked a little bit slow in his progressions, and maybe he was thinking a little bit too much out there. What kind of keyed you in on that, and how did you see that kind of affect him, not only in the 11-on-11s, but even the 7-on-7s?
Yeah, I really noticed the contrast when he would come out and Chase Daniel would come in, who has spent some time in Kansas City in the past with Nagy, and then was in Philadelphia as well in the similar Andy Reid type offense. Daniel was just noticeably more comfortable in the offense, like even just in terms of getting the play calls in between plays. Like, he'd be like talking to a defender after the play and then like just walk right into the huddle. He had gotten the play without really having to pay a ton of attention to it, whereas Trubisky was standing off by himself, staring into space, really focusing to try to be able to translate what was coming to him. And then after the snap, Daniel was, you know, looking first, second, third, however far he had to go to find somebody open pretty quickly, whereas Trubisky was taking more time to, okay, this guy's not open, where do I go next? It was still very much a, you could tell he was thinking too much out there and not just playing. Like, oh, what am I supposed to be doing here? It wasn't natural to him yet.
And I'm guessing it didn't help much that, you know, Allen Robinson sat out and Taylor Gabriel didn't see a ton of action, at least from what you wrote. Who stood out to you among the wide receivers, whether it be first team or second team?
Yeah, unfortunately, nobody really had a great day today. All the quarterbacks just kept having to check down a lot because nobody was really working open down the field. But probably out of all the guys I saw, I think Anthony Miller probably had the best day, which was good to see. I've heard a lot of positive things about him out of camp, and he backed those up today, ran some pretty crisp routes against some of the number one cornerbacks like Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller. Farther down the depth chart, I saw Javon Wims and Tanner Gentry both made kind of nice jump ball catches on go routes down the field. That's kind of what they're both known for, and they both lived up to that with like one really nice circus catch today.
Well, coming up next here on Locked On Bears, we'll get Jonathan's thoughts on Kevin White, as well as the defense, both from a pass rush standpoint in one of the bigger weaknesses, and also the strengths of this secondary, and how they're kind of coming together with so much continuity in Vic Fangio's defense. Keep it locked here on Locked On Bears. One of the guys that has caught some attention for some highlight plays over the last few practices has been Kevin White. And I know you were only at one practice and you have somewhat of a limited perspective on that, but how did you think he performed? I mean, did you see some of the flashes, or I guess where did you see his level of improvement?
Yeah, White was actually one of the guys I was trying to focus on a lot because I've heard a lot about him out of camp looking good and was curious about him because we haven't really seen him in the NFL yet. And I got to say, I really wasn't that impressed. Even in one-on-ones where the wide receiver usually has an advantage, he really struggled creating separation against either Prince or Fuller, those top guys. And in like 7-on-7, 11-on-11, he caught some stuff underneath, but nothing really down the field. It was all just underneath stuff.
I know in these training camp situations, it can be kind of hard to gauge some of the trench play. I mean, in particular, because there's so much you're watching, but also, you know, sometimes the contact is limited, and they're certainly not allowed to hit the quarterback or even get very close to him. But in terms of this offensive line, did you see any standouts either in the positive or negative direction?
Yeah, I didn't see a ton of the lines today because they were mostly working a field over from where I was. It was mostly like the skill position guys who were right in front of me that I saw better. But in terms of the full team stuff, when they were right in front of me, both centers, so both Cody Whitehair and James Daniels, had at least one bad shotgun snap that went over the quarterback today. So that was not really a great thing to see. But the line seemed to be working fairly well overall. They were working on some run game stuff, and there were a few plays where they had some nice holes, all three strings, for guys, some of the running backs to go through. So that was good to see.
On the flip side there, you know, I think pass rush has been one of the clear concerns, at least from the outside, of this Bears team entering training camp. Again, it's a similar situation where it's hard to truly get a feel for how well those guys are actually playing because it's not quite a real live situation. But did you see anything particularly notable with anybody, you know, getting after the quarterback more consistently, or maybe somebody struggling to do so that you expected more from?
Yeah, one guy who really impressed me in a good way today, stood out in a good way, was Sam Acho. You know, he's been around for a couple years. I don't really expect much out of him as a pass rusher, but he was in the backfield all day today. And like in one-on-one drills, they matched him up with Deion Sims, who's like the best blocking tight end, several times, and he won every single one of those. And then in full 11-on-11s, he had a couple would-have-been sacks. If they had let him actually hit the quarterback, and several more disruptions or like tackles for loss in the run game. He was very impressive today.
And when we talk about like the the Mitchell Trubisky interceptions, and you know, I'm sure Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray probably have thrown turnovers over the last couple of weeks. Who are the guys that you're seeing step up and make these interceptions? I mean, is it, you know, you mentioned some 50-50 balls where the guy has to go out and win to get that ball. Who have you seen kind of be aggressive and take charge at the catch point?
Yeah, Prince Amukamara had, I think, two of them today. I don't know if they were both off Trubisky. One of them might have been off Daniel, but that was really good to see. He really doesn't do that much. I think he has like 7 picks through 7 years in the NFL. So I've heard that a number of practices that I haven't seen, but I've heard people say too that he's been coming up with interceptions regularly. So that was good to see. And Cravon LeBlanc had a couple interceptions and a few more pass deflections as well. He had a very strong day working with the number 2 defense mostly.
Was there anything from the defense specific you could point to that indicated to you the level of comfort, you know, maybe even beyond just the secondary that brought back all their starters and actually all their backups? But was there anything that you could kind of tell the continuity and the familiarity has helped with, or is it harder to pinpoint tangible examples?
I think in general, just how cohesive they looked in coverage, like even in 7-on-7s where there's no pass rush. So that usually really favors the offense. The quarterback has all day to just kind of sit and try to find somebody. Even then he'd be going 4, 5, 6 seconds and still have to check down because the coverage was just so cohesive with all the linebackers and secondary together.
Before we move on to some of Jonathan's thoughts on the bigger Bears storylines, even outside of the training camp practices, I want to just take a second to remind you again about the other Chicago sports shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Jordan Malley and Matt Peck host Locked On Bulls. They've been a great source of analysis on the Chicago Bulls offseason with the signing of Jabari Parker and re-signing Zach LaVine. But right now they actually have a great episode out. They interviewed the actor Zach Guilford from Friday Night Lights, who grew up in the Chicago area, went to Northwestern, and is a diehard Bulls fan. It's a great interview they do with him, so I highly recommend any fans of the Chicago Bulls go check that out. And then for Cubs fans, Locked On Cubs is hosted by Ryan Davis, and he's been breaking down the trade deadline for the Chicago Cubs, going all in on this Cole Hamels trade, and also talking about Chris Bryant going back to the disabled list and how that might affect the Cubs' run to the postseason. All your Chicago sports needs are covered on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I wanted to get your take on the Roquan Smith situation in particular, because I think you have a bright mind for kind of thinking through these types of situations. I know Nagy said today that there's a holdup with this, you know, the new rule with the helmet contact where players can get ejected because of that and suspended as a result of those ejections. How concerned are you over now this potentially being a more significant sticking point than just the offset language that we kind of hear about every year with rookies?
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting situation. I was pretty confused the last few days as everybody else kind of signed and Smith didn't. I wondered what was going on, and now today that makes a bit more sense that he's worried about having his contract voided. The guarantees in it voided if he gets a suspension for an in-game hit. And wants them to put in writing that they won't do that, which I think it's really a kind of a weird situation with this new rule because nobody really knows how that's going to be enforced yet. So I totally get Smith's side of this, that he wants to protect himself from perhaps a frivolous suspension while they try to figure this rule out, because, I mean, we've all seen some pretty horrible NFL officiating that they stand behind, like Zach Miller's no touchdown against New Orleans last year. And so I don't blame Smith for not wanting to get hammered by that. But I also don't blame the Bears. I mean, they don't want to put something like that in writing because then they're setting a precedent for future draft picks. So I really don't know how this is going to play out. I don't see like this side should bend versus the other side. And I'll be interested to see how long this kind of stalemate holds.
If you're the Bears, from your perspective, when do you start feeling the pressure to get Roquan Smith into practice and with the team? Like, you know, is it a big deal if he misses the first of five preseason games, or then does like that third preseason game become the one where he really needs to get back by? I mean, if you were in charge here, where would you start to feel nervous about Roquan?
Well, I think from the Bears' perspective, I would really want to have him signed before the Hall of Fame game next Thursday. Because between that and Urlacher's induction, they're going to be a national focal point next weekend. And you want the talking points to be, you know, new coach, bright future, and, oh, look, great player going into the Hall of Fame. Not, oh, top 10 pick not signed. What's wrong with the team for not signing this guy? So I think even beyond just being ready on the field, you're just worried about the PR with that a good bit. In terms of being ready for the season, I mean, I think it's a little bit different than like when Joey Bosa held out a couple years ago with the Chargers, because they want Smith, you know, captaining the defense, making the play calls, lining everybody up correctly, and that takes a lot. And so you want him here for as much of the practice time as you can.
So with Smith holding out and Kwiatkowski continuing to be reported as a strong performer at multiple training camp practices, and then you also have James Daniels working as the backup guard and backup center with Eric Kush starting at left guard, do you get much of an impression or what's your feeling about, you know, how much these rookies may actually fit in the lineup? I mean, it seems like Anthony Miller might be the one most in position right now to get that starting spot or to get a significant role in his first year. But, you know, is there, in your mind, is there a real concern that Roquan, even if he does come back at some point to the preseason, that the Bears could just roll with Kwiatkowski early on, and same with Daniels, that they might just roll with Eric Kush because they feel like they give them a better chance to win right now? Or do you get the impression, or I guess, do you have the feeling that the rookies, because of their talent, because of the team's investment in them, when it's all said and done, they'll probably win out and find their way in the starting lineup?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think Smith is going to see the field, maybe not as a day one starter, depending on when he reports, but you know, you can rotate linebackers through, so he'll play some, and I imagine that role will increase. He just has more athletic ability than Kwiatkowski does, so I think he will gradually usurp that role as the season goes on, at the very least. Yeah, Miller was playing a lot with the ones today, and I'm sure, again, you rotate wide receivers through, so he'll play a good bit too. I'm really curious to see the battle between Daniels and Kush, because I didn't really notice Kush at all today. I mean, he was running left guard with the ones like he has been, and I didn't really notice him, which for a guard is usually a good thing. So it's hard to demote a veteran if he's playing with the ones and doing his job.
So then, just to wrap up here, I like to do this with pretty much everybody I have on the podcast, and take a bigger step back here and look just ahead to the 2018 season as a whole. You know, I know I don't need a total win-loss prediction from you, but what is your kind of general feeling about this team? I mean, I think everyone expects improvement, but how much of an improvement are you expecting in year one?
Well, I think for the offense, I think it's going to be a lot of up and down. You know, we're going to see flashes where, you know, they have a lot of talent now, a lot of different ways they can challenge you with, you know, different types of guys and just sheer number of skill position guys that can do different things. So I think there are going to be times where that kind of clicks and looks really good and it looks like a top shelf offense. But we're definitely not going to see that consistently. There are going to be weeks when, you know, it's a new offense with a lot of young players and a lot of new pieces, and it's going to struggle, be very up and down overall. I would imagine they probably end up somewhere around average overall, I think would be a good year for the offense. And on the defense, I think there'll be a lot more consistency, but the highs won't be as high, the lows won't be as low, and I would think probably somewhere around average too. And I think the team this year probably is looking at somewhere around 8-8 or so, give or take a game or two. And hopefully with the arrow definitely pointing up for 2019, I think, is when we can really expect them to start to be a serious challenger, a very dangerous team.
Well, Jonathan Wood is a blogger over at Da Bears Blog, where he contributes every so often with what I think are a really phenomenal in-depth analysis pieces. You can follow him on Twitter at Jonathan_Wood and the number 1. John, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it was a long day at Bears training camp, but I appreciate your insight and your willingness to talk through it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Lauren. It was a good time. I'd be happy to be back anytime you want.
Thanks again to Jonathan Wood for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation and want even more updates from Chicago Bears training camp, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast listening app it is that you use, the one you're using right now. Go hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. That'll be the best way to keep up with our latest episodes here. This week we'll be diving into the Roquan Smith situation a little bit more with some new developments coming out of there. We'll wrap up our Bears regular season preview with the San Francisco 49ers. And of course, we'll keep you up to date on the latest and greatest storylines out of Chicago Bears training camp and get you ready for live football action this week, preseason game one, the Hall of Fame game. Locked On Bears will be here to get you ready for that game. Everything you should watch for, what you shouldn't watch for, what you should pay attention to, all of that good stuff, what it means, what it doesn't. We'll preview the game, we'll recap the game, and get you all your takeaways from some real football action. We've been missing it for so long. Hope you'll keep it locked here on Locked On Bears as we've gotten you through this off-season of downtime and now into training camp. It's finally time to bear down.